Beloved in the Lord Jesus, our text is Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. At the heart of the gospel, the foundation of all of our joy, is this word that we hear in our text, no condemnation. Is there a greater word that we can hear at the beginning of the worship service when God says to us through your pastor, "Beloved, I love you. You are mine." How is that possible? The Holy God, righteous, communicating, calling His beloved sons and daughters, us vile sinners. And the answer is, there is therefore now no condemnation. Under that theme, no condemnation, I want you to notice this. This is this blessing that we have, where God says no condemnation. This blessing is a present reality. Notice in the second place, the firm basis for this position, this blessing. And then thirdly, those that receive this blessing, those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You'll notice that our text begins with the word, there is therefore now no condemnation. Another word for therefore that could be substituted is, there is therefore or since no condemnation. In other words, that word therefore is connecting us to the context of this particular verse. All that the apostle has said earlier. And this is finally the conclusion. And what is the context? What has the apostle Paul been saying to this congregation? And what is the Spirit saying to us? It's this: we are not under the law, but we are under grace. What does it mean? That our salvation, that our hope for eternal life is not dependent upon our works. For if our salvation were dependent upon our works, what miserable creatures we would be. For we have all sinned. And we all fall short of the glory of God. But we are not under law, but we are under grace. And therefore, he says, since that is true, therefore there is now no condemnation. What does that word now mean in our text? It is not to be taken in a temporal sense. It is not the idea we once were under condemnation, but now at a particular time in our life, perhaps when we confess Jesus, when by faith we cling to Him, now there's no condemnation. It's not the sense that once there was condemnation and now there's no longer condemnation. But rather, that word now is to be understood in a logical sense. That is, because we are not under law but under grace, because the whole argument has been set before these Roman believers and us this morning, because we are saved not by works but by grace, there is no condemnation. Now our text, God's Word, is a legal declaration. What our text is all about is our justification. Justification is God's act whereby God declares wicked men and women righteous in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not guilty, the Lord says. No condemnation. Those words come out of a courtroom. A courtroom where there is a judgment passed. A courtroom where there is a just judge and he judges justly. He is not like many of the judges in the land today or in the period of Israel who would take bribes and would give judgments according to what those who were willing to pay for it. No, there is a judge, a just judge, who judges rightly with the strictest justice and righteousness. He will not say, I'm going to pretend I don't see your sin. He's not going to say, well, there's loopholes. And yes, you're able to get around the law by going through this loophole. He judges with justice and righteousness. No condemnation. A judgment. Now, usually we think of judgments as in the judgment day. The great judgment day that is still coming. But that is not the only sense in which God judges. Oh, God is going to come in His Son, Jesus Christ, and He is going to judge all rational men and women and angels and demons. He's going to judge all of His rational creatures on that great day. But that final judgment day is but a revelation of God's continual judgment. God knows the secrets of our hearts. He judges every moment. Our hearts, the secrets of the hearts, and then the outflowing actions of those hearts. That's why our text is in the present tense. There is therefore now no condemnation. Notice the word is. There is no condemnation. I want you to think about that a moment. Under the many Reformed churches, there is a teaching of common grace. What's wrong with that teaching of common grace? It is a teaching that God changes. That is, under common grace, those who propose it, God has a favorable attitude toward the reprobate all during this life. It's really an Arminian heresy in which God wants to save everyone, God is willing to save everyone, He tries to save everyone, and if it all fails, then finally at the judgment day, then there's condemnation. That's a changing God. A God who is loving toward the wicked all during their lifetime, but finally, when they die at the judgment day, then He's a wrathful God. No. God always judges. Always God has a wrath against sin, and God acts according to it. But now, the glorious gospel, there is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The blessing that is spelled out in the gospel in our text is in a negative form, isn't it? One would be able to read our text in the positive form, that is, God declares us righteous. And He acts accordingly. That's really the sense of our text. God says, innocent, righteous. I see no evil in Israel. Remember, that's exactly what the word of God was through that wicked prophet Balaam. When that wicked prophet Balaam was able to bring forth prophecy, he says, God sees no iniquity in Israel. But our text is not in the positive form, it comes in the negative form, because our present experience condemns us, doesn't it? There is good reason why we should be condemned. We ought to be condemned because we are part of this whole sinful human race. That sinful human race of which the Scriptures tell us all we like sheep have gone astray. None of us do what is pleasing in God's eyes. We are part of that sinful race in Adam that deserve God's judgment. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There should be condemnation against us. Our conscience tells us that, doesn't it? Those thoughts that go flitting through our minds, those thoughts and those desires of the heart that at times we act upon, we speak out of that evil heart. Our hands commit iniquity, our feet walk in the broad way that leads to destruction. And our conscience says, sinner. Sinner, you deserve God's wrath. You've broken God's rules. Instead of walking in a way that is pleasing to Him, instead of aiming for that mark, the glory of God, you've turned your back and you've aimed for yourself, for sin, for the devil. There ought to be condemnation. Look at this world under God's wrath and curse. And to understand all the miseries that are in this life, all the troubles that come to us, and yes, that last enemy, death. One only has to go to Psalm 90. Whether you live 70 years, or perhaps by reason of strength, 80 years, all of our life is but trouble and sorrow. And that Psalm says, because it's under the wrath of God. Yes, there ought to be condemnation for us personally and as God's people. And that's why the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, comes with the truth of the gospel in a negative form. And he says, there is not one condemnation. There is nothing in which I can be condemned. Not as being part of the sinful human race, not all the actions that flow out of a sinful heart. There is not one condemnation. What a gospel. Do you remember in the Old Testament? In the Old Testament dispensation, Satan was actually able to come up into heaven. And he would bring accusation against the saints in heaven. What is Moses doing here? He doesn't belong in heaven. Don't say there's no condemnation. When the Lord said, speak to the rock, what did he do? He struck the rock in wrath. And what's David doing up here? We all know the sins of adultery and murder and pride that ruled in his heart. Or what is a Manasseh doing up in heaven? How all of his life he lived an evil life, even causing his children to pass through the fire of Moloch until the last moment. In the old dispensation, Satan was able to bring accusation in heaven against the saints there. And we read in the Scriptures that Michael fought with the devil. Not with swords, but with words. The words of God's promise. that the Lord would make for himself a people under the seed of the woman. There is now no condemnation. Beloved, that is the reality of the gospel. There never was condemnation for God's people. God doesn't change. You see, God sees us eternally in Christ Jesus. We call that eternal justification. In God's mind, Christ is first the firstborn of many. And in Christ Jesus, God's declaration of you and of me and of all his children is righteous. Perfectly righteous. Not one spot of sin. I behold no iniquity in Israel. It's not just someday way in the future that I'm going to hear that declaration. Now, yes, this Sunday morning, as we have come here with all of our sins, and we come before the righteous God, and we've humbled ourselves, and we have said, I have sinned, Lord. God says, no condemnation. The God that we fear, the God that we serve, is not an angry God waiting to throw down thunderbolts at us from heaven. But he is our loving Father, our covenant God, who says, I behold no iniquity. There is no condemnation. That is the blessing of those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, for those in Christ Jesus. That is the legal ground for this declaration. God is a just God. God will not justify for no reason other than a legal reason. He's not a God who says, I'm going to pretend I didn't see that. As parents, maybe sometimes we do that. We're kind of lazy. We really don't want to get after our children again or take the time to discipline. And we say, I'm going to pretend I didn't see that. God didn't do that. He's a righteous God. And what is important in our text is we need to know the reason that God is able to make this declaration. I see no evil in Israel. There is no condemnation. When our conscience is accusing us, we need to know, why does God say this about us? Am I mistaken? Is this all a figment of my imagination? Is this what I want it to be? And the reason is because in God's mind, Christ is first. God determined to glorify himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. And God determined to glorify himself in Christ with his church. And God determined to glorify himself in the way of sin and grace. Justification, salvation from sin is not an afterthought of God. It is not the case that God created man, was hoping that man would obey him in the garden, and when Adam and Eve fell into sin, God said, oh, shucks, oh no, what will I do? Salvation is not a repair job. God determined to glorify himself in the way of sin and grace. For a people who were in Adam condemned, a people in Christ Jesus found innocent. And God sees us eternally in Christ because God gave us to Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ is the revelation of the righteousness of God. To Martin Luther, that was a dangerous concept. There is a righteous God, or the righteousness of God. He was waiting for that righteousness of God to strike him at any moment. All the works that he tried to go through to avoid that righteous God with his thunderbolts. Jesus is the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ willingly left heaven. He came down to earth to stand in our place. And there, taking our sin and our guilt upon himself, God laying that sin and that guilt upon Christ Jesus, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. What? So that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. Jesus paid the penalties for our sins. But that's not all that the Lord Jesus did for us. He not only came in our place to pay the debt for our sins, but he also came in our flesh in order to bring the perfect obedience that God demands of his people. Do you see that twofold work of our Lord Jesus? He paid the debt, but he also brought the perfect obedience that God demands. And that righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to us, reckoned to our account, because Christ is our substitute. There is, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Those are precious words. In Christ Jesus. By nature, we are all in Adam. Adam, who was the head of the whole corporation of mankind. But by grace, God gave us eternally to his Son, Jesus Christ. And our text says, we are in Christ. What does that mean to you this morning? We are in Christ Jesus. One can understand that word in a local sense. We are now in the church building here in Bellarmina. Obviously, that cannot be the sense of being in Christ Jesus, for Christ Jesus is in heaven and we're down here on earth. We are in Christ Jesus. One can understand that phrase in as being under a corporation. When I came here to the United Kingdom or to Ireland, they wanted me to take out some kind of insurance, so I would be under that insurance while I'm driving my vehicle down your narrow roads. And then, if something would happen, if I wasn't driving real well or driving on the wrong side of the road, then I would be under their protection or payment when I crashed their vehicle. There's also a sense of a relationship. Like a vine and branches, the branches are grafted into the vine and they draw their life out of the vine. What does it mean now here where we read, we, those who are in Christ Jesus? And the answer is, the idea here is, we are in Christ in a legal sense. That means Christ covers us. We are under his protection. We are under his leadership. As he acts, his actions are applied to us. if I can speak of in the United States, or probably your government too, you have representatives. The representatives make decisions for you. If our leaders declare a war, United States is at war. Their actions affect everyone underneath them. In that sense, because Christ Jesus is our head, the head of the church, the firstborn amongst many brethren, we are under His action. And His righteousness now is imputed, is reckoned to us. Because we're under Christ Jesus, our sins are not counted against us. There's forgiveness of our sins. And in Christ Jesus, because He is our ruler, our head, there's a vital relationship. And what is that vital relationship? We draw our life from Him. We are righteous in His righteousness. We live out of Him. We cling to Him. Do you know that truth? Is that your joy this morning? I am by grace in Christ Jesus. And therefore there is no condemnation for me. Absolutely nothing condemns me. Not just something I'm going to hear someday when I stand before Jesus the judge at the end of the world, but something that speaks now in my consciousness. Though the consciousness accuses me. You sinned. You did it again, Audrey. You did it again and again. Can you hope that God's going to forgive you? The Spirit comes and He says, righteous. Righteous because of what Jesus did some 2,000 years ago. Your sins are not imputed to you. They're taken away. But what is given to you, what is imputed to you, is the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. Oh, to be in Christ Jesus. And we experience this blessedness in our walk. A walk which is not after the flesh, but a walk that is after the Spirit. If you look at that verse in the Bible, Romans 8 verse 1, in one sense there could be a period after Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That is, as far as our justification is concerned, the following words could be omitted. The following words are not the basis for God's declaration of us, but rather it's the fruit. Those words are added so that we may know who are these folk that are in Christ Jesus. These folk that are in Christ Jesus are those who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. They mark us out. Just as circumcision marked out those who that were in Israel in the Old Testament, as baptism marks out today those that are in the church. Our life is lived in our flesh. The thoughts, the desires of the heart are acted out. Those whose walk is fleshly. That is, those who give in to the sinful flesh. Show that they are not in Christ Jesus. Many will say, well, I'm a part of the church. I was baptized in a church. I should have no problem. There is condemnation. And there is only condemnation now and in the judgment day unless there is repentance and faith. How many will say in that last day, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Lord, didn't I do that? Wasn't I a member of this church? Oh, the apostasy of the church in which there is all kinds of horrible, heinous sins going on and the people have become callous. I was baptized there. I was married there. I'm okay. There is condemnation. And there's only condemnation. And in the judgment day, for those who willingly walk in the flesh. Those without repentance and faith. Who are those who are in Christ Jesus? Not all those who say, Lord, Lord. Those who are in Christ Jesus are those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For that principle of new life in Christ Jesus is in conflict with that old sinful nature. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying in Romans chapter 7. I find in me a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Walking in the Spirit, my whole life, outward and inward, desires to walk after the Spirit of Christ who is working in me. It means there's this warfare where we want to crucify that sinful flesh. We don't say, yes, I've got to do whatever my flesh wants, but we want to put it to death. We hate the walk of sin. We hate disobedience. We cry out, O wretched man that I am, deliver me, Lord. There is not a delight in sin. That, beloved, is the necessary characteristic of those who are in Christ. We cannot be in Christ legally without this relationship, vital relationship of living out of Christ Jesus. Or another way of saying that it is not true that we are justified and not sanctified. Sanctification is the necessary fruit of justification. They go hand in hand. The assurance that we are in Christ is in the way of sanctification. And that is the way of our being blessed. Oh, when David fell into the grievous sins, he had no rest of spirit, did he? He was grieved. He was dried within himself. Listen to the Psalms. But when he confessed his sins, then he experienced that wonderful knowledge. His sins are forgiven, imputed to him with the righteousness of God. It was well with his soul. The fruit of the Spirit, of sanctification, the fruit of this walk after the Spirit, is that we are able to say, there is therefore now no condemnation. Not now, not in the judgment day. Is that your assurance? Is that the joy that you have in your life? Not the baubles that you might have, not the things that this world can give you, but I am in Christ. And in Christ, there is no condemnation. God beholds me in Christ innocent, declares me righteous. It is well with my soul. Amen.